Welcome to the Brilliant Breakthroughs Business Podcast. We're so happy you're here today to learn about how to create fresh perspectives on profitability, people, productivity, and finding peace in your small business. Oh, hi, rock stars. My name is Maggie Mongan, and I'm your host today. I'm also a tenured master business coach, trainer, strategist for about 20 years now. The CEO of Brilliant Breakthroughs, Inc., which is a coaching practice specializing in guiding small businesses to optimize business performance and leadership. I believe that small businesses are the accelerant of our economy, and I believe that so much that I created a number one best-selling business book series for small businesses, but I didn't do it alone. I brought some wonderful experts along with me, and that's who is always being interviewed on this podcast series. So let's welcome Tamara Burkett, our guest today. Wow. Okay. Woo-woo. So everyone, we are really thrilled. Today, we have with us one of our tenured experts, number one best-selling business author, Tamara Burkett, who is also known as the Customer Loyalty Architect. What a cool name you have there.
Welcome. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for having me, Maggie.
Yeah, isn't it amazing? You're a number one best-selling business author and an international best-selling author?
Yeah, still mind-blowing.
I know. It is.
Like, that's me? Yeah, that is me. That's me.
It is you. And you deserve that because you created a great chapter in our book. And at the end of the series, we're going to tell everybody about that, how they can get a hold of it and find out what you wrote about, okay?
Okay.
So I think it might be really cool, first of all, to let everybody know you've done a couple other episodes in our series, right? Mm-hmm. In the Brilliant Breakthroughs Business Podcast. Yes. And I want to share what they are.
Okay.
Okay. And then let's dive into your interview questions.
Okay.
Sounds ready? Good.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, everyone, check this out. Write these numbers down. And if you can't write them down right now, know that they'll be in the show notes as well. Tamara's other episodes are BB 102, 110, 115, 124, 130, and 137, plus this one. So she's been a little busy delivering some goods for you.
Yes, I have.
Yes, you have. Okay. So you do all this really cool stuff, Tamara. You are a customer loyalty architect. And part of that, a large part of that, means not only are you melding how people do business relationships in a good way now, but how to also utilize technology to simplify that, right?
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay. And you're helping everybody learn how to make it effective and efficient, right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, I think that's a great setup because what we're about to talk about is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I think your title for this is How to Overcome Zoom Burnout, correct?
Yes. Yes. Okay.
Well, that's a hot topic.
It sure is. I've been about it for the past like month or two.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. And I love this. We're doing a little different shift.
Mm-hmm.
Coming at how to do relationships in the 21st century, utilizing Zoom and how to do Zoom better than maybe what we have been, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. So can I start asking you a question or two?
Absolutely. Shoot away.
Okay. So, you know, we have in our title Zoom, and then we have burnout.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Zoom. The reason why you're getting all this fatigue and burnout pinned upon you is because you're in the lead.
Right. Right. So congratulations. And
sorry. Okay. It's like, you know, we don't say go search the internet. We just say go Google, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. But in this case, a lot of people are having difficulty adapting to this new type of business activity. It's not necessarily the tool, but it's the activity, and we need to learn more about the tool, right?
Right. Right.
Okay, so you're going to help us dive in. Mm-hmm. Question number one, ready?
Ready.
Okay. There's quite a few different conference tools out there today in the marketplace. We have Google Hangouts, GoToMeeting, Zoho, Skype, Microsoft, Cisco WebEx, everything, right? Mm-hmm. And but Zoom's really the one that everybody just migrated to.
Yes.
Why did they do that?
Zoom is extremely easy to navigate in terms of just the basic function of scheduling a meeting. So there's really no learning curve to that. You can sign up for a free account. They give you a link. You could cut and paste it and send it an email, or you can schedule it. And again, there's not a lot of learning time in terms of figuring out how to do that. It's very intuitive.
Okay.
So it's easy, and it's also inexpensive. Again, you can get a free account that allows you to have meetings. If you schedule the meeting within the platform, you have about 45 minutes until they cut the meeting off. but if you, again, if you don't schedule the meeting within the platform, you just do a cut and paste, you have as long as you need, really. So that's a workaround. If you haven't discovered that, there's a workaround for that. And really, that's how they built their platform. When Zoom first came on the scene, they built their platform so it can be easy and affordable for most people to use.
I agree with that. Mm-hmm. So when did you begin using Zoom, and why, Tamara?
I began using Zoom when I started my consulting business, so about 4 years ago. I used it, and it really was out of convenience. It was a free account. Again, cut and paste the link or schedule it, and boom, I was in a one-on-one meeting. And it really saved me time. So instead of driving across town to meet someone, we can just hop on Zoom to meet face to face. That was the primary reason. Over the years, it has become really the catalyst for evolving my business into more of a digital model, where now I can expand my network. So I can meet with people on the West Coast or East Coast, or even I can meet with someone in Australia or Hong Kong. So it allowed me to have a global reach. It also helped me with organizing my calendar. As I'm scheduling these appointments, it's extremely important that I'm on time. So it helped me to start organizing and prioritizing my time. It integrates with a variety of different software, and there are multiple uses for Zoom. So not only does it integrate with my calendar, my scheduler, my email, it also integrates with email marketing software. And as new technology come on, hit the marketplace, I find different uses for Zoom in order to leverage the other tools.
Right. And I have a question about leveraging those other tools in a little bit. So we'll get back to that. Okay.
Okay. Sure.
All right. Well, you know, I hear you about the conveniency that Zoom has. I was a real early adopter to them, tried them out for a while, and I dropped the account. Mm-hmm. And then I went back.
Yeah.
And I went back pretty quickly, and I'm a pro user, and I absolutely love it. There's a million things that you can do, but I live out in the country. So for me to make appointments and drive to meet people, it takes me a while. It takes me 40 minutes roughly or more to get anywhere to do that. And if you think about it, I'm saving an hour and a half with each appointment.
Right.
So there's definitely advantages to it besides what you said, expanding a network. Perfect. Yeah. Perfect. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you're an early adopter. I'm an early adopter. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of people who aren't.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. We have this thing called a global pandemic, and we went into quarantine, and all of a sudden,
right,
oodles of corporate professionals started finding out about Zoom and moving all of their meeting activities over to Zoom.
Yes.
And we started hearing about Zoom fatigue.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I have a lot of things I could say about Zoom fatigue, but I'm not being interviewed. You are.
Well, you can always incorporate that in.
Because you speak truth, and I want people to know it's not just a one-off, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so did you have Zoom fatigue or something like that when you started using video services like Zoom?
I did. I experienced Zoom fatigue when I first began using the software, and there is this excitement that comes with being able to have a software that is just so simple and easy to use and effective. The first time you do it, right? You don't have to spend hours learning the tool before you're able to apply it to your business. And so with that excitement and the convenience of it, when I began, I would schedule Zoom meetings back to back, four plus meetings a day. Like, woohoo, I get to meet with 4, 5, 10 people in a day, right here in my home. And so, yeah, I did experience Zoom fatigue, and I didn't know what it was at first, but I knew that after having all those calls, like I my brain turned to mush. I could not work. I just wanted to sit in front of the TV and let it watch me.
Did you feel like going in the corner and going,
right? It was like, don't talk to me. I don't want to hear anyone talk to me. Just right. Let me zone out, right?
Yeah. And I was totally
exhausted the next day. So I noticed some meetings first I noticed that, you know, the extreme loss of energy. And then I also, after meetings, would question what value. And then all of a sudden it's like, okay, I don't think I found value in that meeting. Like, why did I meet her? So that the prioritizing of time and people were more in question than before. At first, it's just, I can meet with anybody, everybody, let's do Zoom. Now it's, oh, I'm not really getting the value of, you know, all the effort in this. So that was one piece that I started to notice. And then the whole feeling of being on all the time. In Zoom, you can see yourself talking in addition to talking to that person or that group. So of course you start to nitpick your appearance and how you talk. So then you have that whole thing going on. And then of course you worry about tech issues. There have been multiple times when I was kicked off of Zoom and very important times when, you know, either I was doing a presentation or whatnot and I was just kicked off. Or it was just really weird. So that's another layer of stress when meeting people on Zoom. And then, so it also became difficult to focus on the person I'm speaking to for a long period of time, because we're staring straight at each other. There's no way around it. There's really, you know, really don't want to look away too much, right? Because you don't want to appear like you're not listening or that you're distracted. So all of these things, and then of course the work-life balance. So, you know, my honey Ryan, I have to be very aware of when I have meetings because he walks through the door, right? He walks through the door, commotion, or maybe if you have pets, your cat probably walk across the screen. So there are all different factors, right, that play into having Zoom meetings that I didn't anticipate. And so, yeah, that contribute to my Zoom fatigue.
Oh my gosh. I love what you shared and I'm sitting here cracking up and so glad that I didn't bust up laughing while you were just sharing this whole list because it's the reality of doing business in a home environment, right? Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things that we all have to become more aware of is that stuff like that might happen.
Right.
And if it does, it does. Mm-hmm. As long as we're not encouraging it and we're not being mindful of who we're Zooming with, mm-hmm. I have screaming kids in the background. Okay, every once in a while that's going to happen, or a dog barking really loudly. But mm-hmm. as long as we don't go in with that,
right.
I think it's more understanding. Last year it wasn't. Mm-hmm. Last year it was not. Now it is because we're all doing this and we're realizing might not be ideal, but it's just how it has to be now.
Right.
You know, so I love the fact that you said it helped you prioritize what meetings were valuable and which ones weren't. Mm-hmm. I think that's very important because at first it's a really fun tool and then you go, ooh, mm-hmm. and it is exhausting because what you described of stacking meetings. Mm-hmm. I did that, and every once in a while, I still do it just because of the timing of when people can meet, and I walked out whipped. And it's not necessarily that it's the Zoom that's whipping us. Mm-hmm. It's all the circumstances related to that. Like, we have right. to be 100% present.
Right.
And I don't think we do that well in face-to-face meetings. Mm-hmm. But when we go Zoom to Zoom, there's this intensification. That's a new word, by the way, intensification. Everything's intensified, amplified, and it's just like, boom, it's you and me, like we're in the cone of silence, right?
Right. You know, we're forced to pay attention to each other out of respect.
Right, because you don't want to look rude, right? And like start looking sideways, like, oh yeah, hey, did you check out their shoes?
Right. Right. Or try to hide that you're on your phone, like,
yeah, I wish you could see the video we're doing. We're having fun with this right now. So that being on thing, it's real. It's being conscientious, right? It's
right.
being concerned about how you show up. Mm-hmm. And that's a professional courtesy, I believe.
Right.
It is. And just remember, if you get kicked off, it's okay. Just come back. Mm-hmm. It happens. It's happening a lot more now than it ever did.
It is. And the cool thing about Zoom now is if you get kicked off and it's a Wi-Fi thing, it'll automatically log you back on. Whereas back in the days, you had to go back through the whole process of logging back on. So it took you 5 or 10 minutes. And that was a total disruption of that conversation.
Right. You lost your whole flow of where you were, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the other thing about tech, let's talk about that connection just for a moment, because there is concern about that. Right. And a lot of people can see the message that comes up, your internet is unstable, and you're like, oh. Right.
Let me move the antennas around, or let me...
I need more aluminum foil.
Right. Let me move to the different room, closer to the modem.
when really one of the simplest fixes is shut off as many of all your other devices as you can.
Right. And that's what you taught me. You taught me well, because I do that now. Every time I go on Zoom, I'm turning off my phone, my iPad, TV. Yeah.
Right. It matters. So do that as often as you can, and that'll eliminate some of that tech stress of getting bumped off. Mm-hmm. Cool. So, there's a lot of things that are What would I say? Draining or depleting our energy when we're doing this intense conversation, you know, through technology, right? Video conferencing. So you would think that virtual meetings would be easier than in-person meetings. But there's some greater challenges to that, right? And we started going into them a little bit and having fun. And gosh, everyone laugh with us because we all feel the pain. Like the cat walking across the screen is just like, oh.
It's a funny moment, though. That's a way to engage your audience.
It is. But the other thing is, it makes it all real again.
It does.
So let's talk about this. What is it that you have seen, and how can we move through that a little better, Tamara?
Right. So obviously there are more factors in having a Zoom meeting versus in person.
Right.
So for example, your environment, we talked about that a little bit. Your environment can dictate the level of professionalism. So being aware of your surroundings. If you were to meet in person, you wouldn't have control over that. So that would not be something you would worry about necessarily. But now that these meetings have moved to the home, now you're aware of, you know, the picture or the dust on the wall or the picture, you know, or what. So now you're very aware of that, and anything that can cause a distraction. So now it's about how can you control the environment. We talked about appearance and being on. If you schedule a networking meeting or to attend one, you already know what the dress code is. But now that you're meeting in your home, you have this, well, at least I do, I can speak for myself. but when it comes to dressing to be in front of Zoom, your natural instinct is to be casual because you're in your home. So you have to overcome that instinct and at least wear a nice top, right?
At least wear a nice top.
At least wear a nice top.
Have your teeth brushed.
Right. You still got to put on makeup for most meetings. So like those are some of the things that, you know, were pretty much a no-brainer when you're out meeting in person that now you kind of second guess and have to reevaluate a little bit. And that again caused you to expend more energy into having that meeting that you didn't have to before.
Hold on. I want to stop you there because I know you're going to take us somewhere else in a moment. But you're saying that we didn't have to before, and we did because we had to do that before we left the house. The only difference is we don't have to leave the house now.
Well, it wasn't something we had to question. We already knew this was part of our routine. Anytime we were going out in public, you put your face on.
Okay.
You wear a nice tap. You know, these are things that were part of your routine. But now since you're home, there's this, initially you question whether you need to do that.
And the answer is do it.
Do it, right. So yeah, you should do it. But you know, people, you're in your home. So it's that work-life balance of now you're bringing work into your home. There are some questions in terms of now how do you behave? How do you appear? You know, how do you show up?
So you still appear to have a professional meeting. You just happen to be doing it in your home.
Right. But I think it's that mental gap you have to get over because you're in your home versus out at the office or out in public having meetings. So those are some things that are minor, but it does contribute to kind of zapping your energy when you first start meeting at home, first start the Zoom process.
Okay.
I shouldn't say virtual Zoom process because people use different platforms, but you know, the virtual conference.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So we have to plan for all of this, right?
Mm-hmm. We have to plan for all this.
And we have to plan for tech as well.
You have to plan for tech. Absolutely. So like we mentioned, turning off devices, making sure that your Wi-Fi connection is strong, and knowing where you'll have the meeting in your home, and controlling the background of your surroundings, making sure that the video is clear, and making sure that the audio is clear. All of those things play into to having a virtual meeting versus having an in-person meeting. There are things that you don't have to think about. So that's really the difference.
Okay. So now we're diving a little deeper. Mm-hmm. And it's all really interesting because what you're talking about is there's many factors that can easily be overlooked. And if they are, then the virtual meeting doesn't have the high impact that it could have had.
Right.
And what we're accustomed to having it if we're doing in-person meetings, right?
Right.
So the environment is a factor. There's also the issue of being on that adds to the Zoom fatigue, like we were talking about. And again, we're referencing Zoom, even though there's many other platforms. Mm-hmm. So there's many components that are going to engage a person intentionally and unintentionally, right?
Right.
Like the cat is unintentional, hopefully. So it sounds like Zoom fatigue is just part of the learning curve of using video conference software. Yes?
Yes, it is.
Okay. So if that is true, and I agree with that, that it's just flexing a new muscle, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can it be avoided?
It can be avoided. If you're strategic about how and how often you use it for meetings. So I like to say, or at least there's a saying in my family, just because you can doesn't mean you should.
And that goes
back to stacking those meetings. Just because you can stack meetings back to back doesn't mean that you should.
Oh, I need you to record that and stick that in my ear every day.
Right, have a big plaque. Yeah, so, you know, it's really about being strategic with who you meet and when you meet. And meeting on Zoom is still a part of the sales process. So that means, you know, if you use the phone, if you're calling people, Zoom should not be a substitute for the phone for the most part. There are exceptions, but you don't, if you cut out the Zoom, if you cut out the phone conversations and use Zoom instead, we talked about the time that it takes to go into preparing for that. So you're using quite a bit of time for your Zoom meetings, even though it's not as much time if you were to meet in person.
Okay. So
again, you want to think about where in the sales process does it make sense to meet with people. If you're meeting people for the first time, it may serve you well to make that first connection a phone call. And based on the phone call, decide whether or not it's worth to have the next meeting via Zoom. So just being a good steward, not just of your time, but also of your energy. Because again, you're given more energy when you're meeting virtually versus on the phone. So that's one way to reduce or avoid Zoom fatigue.
Okay.
Another piece is spreading out your Zoom appointments. So now you have your virtual one-on-one meetings, you also have networking meetings and summits and conferences and workshops. All of those can drain your energy and count as Zoom meetings too. So you want to take into account how many of those are you doing during the week, and give yourself some type of boundary around that.
Yes. So
spreading it out. For me, when I do Zoom meetings, I have no more than 3 Zoom meetings a day. And that also includes networking meetings. So no more than 3 a day I give myself, because I also pad my time. Yeah. So in between, I make sure I have time in between meetings. If I'm having a Zoom meeting at 10 o'clock, the next meeting I'll have be maybe around 12 o'clock, 11:30 at the earliest, but mostly 12 o'clock. I want to make sure that I can decompress and release whatever energy and generate more energy for the next meeting. So being able to do that is essential to...
I agree with that one, Tamara. And everything you're saying so far is really practical.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the buffer that you just mentioned, the padding, I call mm-hmm. it cushion,
mm-hmm.
Is so important for us. And I don't believe it's just for Zoom. It's with everything we do.
Right.
On our calendars. Mm-hmm. That's a big thing that helps my clients when I share that with them to avoid burnout. And here we're talking about Zoom burnout and fatigue, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I can't overemphasize the importance of that to give yourself those breathers.
Yes, absolutely. It helps to refocus so that the next meeting can be impactful. Sticking to your boundaries for your time.
Huh.
Right. I know it's hard to do. I'm still working on that too.
Yeah, we all are. We all are. Sometimes it just happens.
Right. Sometimes you just, you meet someone online and you gel, and next thing you know, it's an hour and a half.
And sometimes that's welcomed and other times it's not, right?
Exactly.
And we need to be more mindful of that. You're right. There's so much that we have to be more cognizant of, right?
Yes. 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 And the last piece, again, to improve your Wi-Fi connection is turn off your devices. Turn off other devices, and that will help with the whole tech issue. The more you use Zoom, the more you get comfortable in the uncertainty of your tech. Like, it happens, right?
True.
It happens. Yeah. You do all that you can to make sure that everything is clear, you can see and hear each other, and it goes well, but sometimes there are too many people on Zoom. What can you say?
Yeah.
Sometimes it's raining and just the Wi-Fi is just crap. You can't control that. So be fine with controlling what you can, but being okay with the things you're not able to control.
I love this, because that's what you just shared is so practical. There's strategies and preparation, and we need to show up to our meetings differently now.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because we are doing them in our home.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're more strategic about the time and we're being aware of how we show up, you know, that we have a good energetic level, we don't come in dragging from the last meeting we just went through,
right.
We can do things like avoid fatigue, right?
Right. Absolutely. Okay.
So you mentioned earlier about using Zoom in multiple ways, and I told everybody we'd get here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you know that mm-hmm. one of the ways I use it is to record our podcasts. A lot of podcasters do that.
Right.
How else can we leverage Zoom?
With a paid account to Zoom, and that's, again, very affordable, you can transcribe notes, speeches, meetings, which you can take and repurpose that as content for your digital marketing needs. So for instance, Maggie, you can take this interview that we're having, and as you record it, have it transcribed, saved transcribed, then you can take that and make that into show notes. Or you can take it, edit it, make it into a blog, and take that piece and a few sentences, pull out a few sentences, and now you have social media posts. So I love using Zoom for that purpose, to repurpose content. You can live stream webinars onto Facebook and YouTube. You can register people for that webinar right on Zoom platform and then link them to the playback. So all this can be automated. You don't have to go back and switch or flip a button or anything. You can have it set into your settings and do a webinar, have people register, then they can go straight to the playback. And it can be stored in the cloud on Zoom. So you don't have to take up your storage on other platforms or devices that you have. And then there's also creating an operations manual. So now that you can transcribe things, you can speak or talk through different processes and steps, have it transcribed, and boom, you can make your operations manual as you create your processes. And there are several other ways that you can use Zoom, but there are a lot of administrative ways to use it that can, again, save you time and also save you money on other tools.
Oh my gosh. I can't wait till we get to when we tell people how to get a hold of you. Because you got this dialed in, and I know you have more, but we don't want to blow everybody's minds away just yet.
Right.
Okay, so one last question, because I know we could go on for a while. Mm-hmm. Okay, although Zoom was founded back in 2011, it seems that most of us really aren't even aware of its capability. And you've even shown me some things, and I've been an early adopter. So for people who are coming on the scene, for people who have been using it for a while, but maybe not optimizing it, do you have any last advice for our listeners?
Yes, I strongly encourage you all to take a course in Zoom and get additional training from an expert that can show you how to leverage Zoom for your business needs. Because again, so many features there that you can use to save time and money. And since most people use Zoom in the most basic form, it's vital to know new ways to engage people, because it's hard to separate yourself or differentiate yourself from others when everyone's using Zoom the same way. So that training, that course, will help you discover new ways to keep people engaged, which will also help you in registering more people if you're having meetings and events and things on Zoom. And then the last piece that I encourage people to think about is, if you are having group meetings with more than 15 people, it'll behoove you to have a co-host or someone that can manage the tech while you facilitate the meeting, and the meeting will just run smoother and less stress on you if you were to have that second person.
I love this. It's so practical, and everything you're saying makes sense. Is we need to learn, if this is our new way of showing up, we need to learn the tool, and we need to learn how to differentiate ourselves in the experiences of whomever we're engaging with, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that is really powerful. I love your point of, if you have 15 or more people, find somebody to be the wizard behind the curtain.
Mm-hmm.
You do that well, by the way.
Thank you.
You do that well. There is so much more, but listeners, we have to wrap this up. And I'm so sorry that we do. So here's the deal. You can learn more and engage with number one bestselling business author, Tamara Burkett. Start by reading her chapter. It's the fifth chapter in the Ruby Red book, Brilliant Breakthroughs for the Small Business Owner, Fresh Perspectives on Profitability, People, Productivity, and Finding Peace in Your Business. Volume 3, Ruby Red. Tamara's fifth chapter is Cracking the Code, How to Harness the Power of CRM. She has it all dialed in. You don't have to go out there and start all over and do a ton of research. She's going to guide you exactly through learning what you need to know for a CRM. It really is cracking the code, okay? And obviously, Tamara has some tech savvy to her because she's talking about Zoom and helping people figure out how to maneuver their way through that to create better experiences.
Yes.
Love that. Okay. Now, I'm going to tell everybody our podcast for Tamara is 102, 110, 115, 124, 130, and 137 besides this one.
Mouthful.
I know. You've been a happening kind of a person. And I hope that everybody does listen to Tamara because she can help you dial it in pretty quickly. Also, at the end of Tamara's chapter, at the bottom of her author page, she has a special gift for you that's relevant and free. You want to share what it is, Tamara?
Sure. It's a free video training series to discover how a CRM will best support your business.
I love that. Okay. And we have in the show notes exactly where to go get that. We have links for that. We got it all dialed in for everybody. All you got to do is check out the show notes. Plus, at the end of Tamara's chapter, she has her business description, all sorts of social media handles. She's got it dialed in.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're doing good work. And here's something else that's really cool. Right now, everyone can see anything they want to know about the book and how to get a hold of it or you, Tamara, by going to the book's app. Go to your app store, type in Brilliant Biz Book. Brilliant Biz Book. Download it for free. And when you get there, you'll see that we have all our podcasts there, all sorts of really cool stuff. But what you might want to do is click on Ask an Expert and find Tamara Burkett's name. Click on it, type in your question, and she'll respond back. Won't you?
Absolutely.
Yes, I know you will. You're good about that. I think that's a pretty cool bonus. And I want to thank you for sharing your time, but more importantly, your wisdom. Oh my gosh, you delivered it.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's always fun to have a conversation with you.
Cool. And listeners, we appreciate you listening to the Brilliant Breakthroughs podcast, where you learn about how to create more brilliant breakthroughs for your small business. We'll be back next week. So until then, shine brightly.